This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience?
Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative.
Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it.
Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Shreyas, what did you do? What have you done? I'm telling you, it's a day here on Sports Daily. Shreyas Lotta joining us, KU beat reporter for the KC Star. You can follow him at SHRE98, find all his work. What the hell was that last night?
A disaster, much like what the season's been so far for KU basketball. Came in preseason ranked number one. I don't think they've looked the part since, what, mid-November? Against Iowa State, maybe? I haven't seen them look the part in extended games. And the worst part about it is like, you know, it's the stuff I've written and talked about since mid-December. And now they've just piled on and had even more issues. They can't get to the free-throw line. They don't make enough threes. They don't take enough threes. They have clear roster construction issues. You know, I'm tired of hearing about, oh, you know, we've talked about it. We've done this. We've done that. You know, Bill Self talked about it before the game, how, you know, they've done enough talk. Okay. Then they lose by 34. Maybe they should just stop talking, period. Like, there's nothing to do at this point. That was one of the most embarrassing displays of basketball I've ever seen for a team as talented as Kansas is. It's one thing to lose. It's another thing to never be in a game. And it's a third thing to do it with the oldest team in NCAA right now and look like you just learned how to play basketball last week.
What sums it up for me, Shreyas, I think, is that throughout the game last night, and it wasn't just the BYU game, it's been this way for quite a while now. I think everything was exposed and put on full display last night for sure. But I'm going through my mind and I'm thinking, okay, if Kansas needs to make a shot, who do they go to? I don't know. If Kansas needs to make a stop, who do they go to? I don't know. If they need to get a rebound, who do they go to? I don't know. And I think that that encapsulates everything. There's nothing at all consistent that you can lean on whatsoever with this team.
No, 100%. And, you know, this is the issue. I mean, like, this is one of the many issues this team has is, you know, the guys that are supposed to be the guys. When you ask yourself the last couple of years, even 2022, the teams that have had good Kansas teams, how talented they are, or just another level of talent than what they Hunter Dickinson and Zeke Mayo are. No disrespect to Zeke Mayo. He's been great. He's probably one of the few guys you can sit there and say, I think he's done well from the transfer portal for Kansas. But Hunter Dickinson is not Jalen Wilson. He's not Grady Dick. He's not Ochai Agbaji. He's not Christian Braun. He's not a lot of these guys. And no disrespect to him, but he has too many games where I feel like he just doesn't do anything in a half. And you look, he has 4 points on 5 shots, and then he ends the game with 15 points on like 5 of 12 shooting or 6 of 13 shooting. And the only thing he does is shoot around the rim. I mean, he takes 1 3 a game. He shouldn't be shooting that bad. If that's your entire game is built around offense, then you got to be more efficient than he is. And maybe the spacing around him isn't good. We know KJ and DeJuan are not doing him any favors. But I think everyone talked about the Hunter Dickinson addition as this great thing that they landed the number one transfer portal guy so much. All the national media talked about it. I think everyone expected more than what we've seen from Dickinson and this KU team the last 2 years. I said on Twitter, I think about it, and I was like, last 2 weeks, I was like, are they better than last year's team? And after yesterday, I don't think they're better than last year's team, which is really crazy to say.
Yeah.
That's insane to say.
They're better on paper, but they're not playing better. And that's where, like, for me, Hunter Dickinson, who can roll out of bed and go 16-8, is the problem. I mean, it's the elephant in the room of the last couple of years. DeJuan Harris was the starting point guard on the last national championship team, right? KJ Adams doesn't have an important enough role to be that impactful to what we're seeing. I disagree with fans on that. It's Dickinson. And now it makes me wonder, and I think he said all the right things after the game, but he's just not a leader like that, like Bill Self needs that guy to be historically. I mean, could we ever imagine Frank Mason or Devontae Graham or Jalen Wilson or Ochai Agbaji letting this sort of psychological mess happen on a KU basketball team? Because that's hard for me to imagine. And Dickinson, if he's going to be that guy, which they're making him that guy, he just doesn't seem to bring any of that other stuff off the court to the table, for at least that anybody's buying into on that roster.
Yeah, I think it's just weird to watch from afar and even up close. You know, I think Dickinson has handled this season as well as anyone could handle it. You know, he's great press conference-wise. He hasn't blamed anyone but himself, you know, and the team and getting better. And I think that's a lot of maturity. You know, I think I've seen from him in this last 2 years than I think I expected him from what I saw in Michigan. But I agree. And I think I go back to this, and I've talked about this with some of the media guys on the KU beat, is when you – and we talked about this a little earlier, when you need somebody to create their own shot, there's not a guy on this team that I can say, hey, give him the ball and create the shot. Maybe Zeke Mayo, but he's a little shorter, so it's tougher to create a shot. And if Hunter Dickinson is your number one scorer, number one offensive guy outside of Zeke Mayo, the issue becomes his kind of space that he takes up in the post, the little dribble, back down, baby hook that he does. I think psychologically, it does something to KU shooters because they're just sitting on the corner waiting for a possession to play out. And a lot of times, you know, they're not getting the dump off that they might need. And he can't create his own shot. He can't create his own create shot for his teammates consistently. So then you ask yourself, okay, what can he do well? Well, you know, he's a good offensive player and he's a good rebounder. But then they go against Utah and he gets 7 rebounds against a lengthy, you know, court, back full court, like they had. And then he drops 14 rebounds against BYU, but it didn't matter because I think KU still got out rebounded. And a little bit of that is KJ Adams not being a good enough rebounder, of course. But it just feels like the fit behind the three guys, like those three guys just don't coexist. And then the guys they brought in from the portal have been an unequivocal disaster. AJ Storr has been horrendous. And I'm tired of talking about if they give him more minutes. Every time they give him extended to play, he's been awful. Against any good team, he's looked bad. Rylan Griffin, he shows flashes. He shows certain games where he looks good, but he's clearly in his own head about it because I don't see a consistency game in, game out. David Coit, he's like 5'11". I don't expect that much out of him. If he makes a couple threes a game, that's great. I'm thinking who else? It's just not been what anyone expected. Flory is a good and promising player, but he's a freshman that is not ready to have a real offensive role yet. And you can see that on the offensive end. And it is why we're looking at this team. And I looked at them start triple big last night. And I just looked exasperated is the word I'd use at that lineup. I was like, I cannot believe that is a real lineup that we're using in 2025. This is not 1975. And I'm like, you know, maybe, you know, I'm not Bill Self. I'm not a Hall of Fame coach. Who am I to say that doesn't work? But I was like, I don't think this is a good lineup. And then they start off another game on a bad, bad, you know, start, bad energy. They can't play defense as well. The shots are not going down. And I think Bill realizes his mistake because Rylan Griffin comes out and starts instead of Flory in the second half. It's just to me, you know, every time you think this team could turn a corner, they can't put together two games where they look like a good basketball team. It hasn't happened since mid-January. They're 8-7 in conference play. Last year, guys, they had 8 losses. Do we really think they're not going to have more than 8 losses with the way their schedule's looking?
They will.
They're going to lose to Houston. They're probably going to lose to Texas Tech. They could lose on senior night. I think they'll beat Colorado just because Colorado's god-awful, and Oklahoma State because they're bad too. So I'm thinking maybe 2-3 wins out of the remaining 5 games. They're going to go limping in to the Big 12 tournament, probably have to play on a Wednesday, which, you know, doesn't happen for a Kansas team. Probably get a 7, 8, 5, 6, 7 seed, whatever, and probably lose in the first 3 rounds of the NCAA tournament, depending who they play.
Yeah, let's real quick talk about Bill Self, because obviously the players are not executing, but things are compounding as well. Bill Self's the GOAT, right? Like, he's a Hall of Famer. He's had a terrible coaching year as well, and he's had a terrible roster construction year once again. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the show that, you know, he ran back 60% of the starting lineup from an 11-loss team, thinking that the supporting cast around them just needed to get better. But really, a lot of the issues have been with those three guys that he returned. And I think that starting lineup last night just encapsulates, like, the desperation grasping at straws. Like, hey, we're going to throw three bigs out there against a BYU team that likes to launch up threes. And I think that from the lineup perspective, from the in-game adjustments, I think part of the reason why guys like Griffin and Storr aren't producing, number one, they're just not executing, and that's on them. Mm-hmm. But number two, they're not given any kind of grace from Bill Self either. They make a mistake, their butts on the bench, when these other guys, the big three, are making mistake after mistake after mistake, and they're still playing in a game. It's kind of a double standard there. What have you seen from Bill Self?
No, I agree. And I think you go back to how much does he trust these guys? He clearly trusts those three more than he trusts anybody else on this team, to the detriment or to the benefit of KU basketball. He's going to ride and die with his guys. And honestly, I respect that because he clearly knows what's going on behind the scenes at practice. He clearly knows how these guys are acting, how much effort and time they're putting into the game. I'm not seeing that. I can hear things, you know, but it's not the same. And to me, you know, I don't know if there is a solution. Tomorrow you say, let's bench KJ Adams and put in Rylan Griffin and AJ Store in the lineup, and we bench like DeJuan Harris or something, or you know, you put in Zeke Mayo at the one and put AJ Store. I don't think that lineup would have won them a game against BYU.
No,
I think maybe they lose by 30 instead of 34. I mean, come on, like the defense would have fell off. I mean, this is my thing. It's like, you know, they have these moments where they look like a competent basketball team when they leave team scoreless for 6 half minutes. And in a competent basketball team, you would cut a lead that's 15 or 10 to more than 10 or 15. But Kansas makes it a 9-point lead or an 8-point lead instead of a 10-point lead because they can't score the basketball.
Yeah.
They were 46th in adjusted offensive efficiency before yesterday's game. I bet you that number went down after last night. Yeah. And yeah, it's just not good enough. It's not good enough basketball on the offensive end. And I don't think their defense is bad, but it puts so much pressure on the defense to perform that eventually it's going to crack, right? And, you know, I don't think they're number 5 in the nation defense like KenPom says they are, but I certainly think they're a much better defensive than offensive team.
It's all bled over now. They can be a top yeah. 5 defensive team, but now it's all it is really good. And look, Bill Self doesn't make a habit of starting 3 bigs. He's doing anything he can to try and switch it up. It didn't work, but like he's trying to do something. It's a mess, and now it's a psychological mess, and now we'll find out what that means, right? And I guess in the next game, we'll see how this team responds. I'm not sure their DNA is to respond the way they're going to have to respond, because we've never seen that from this particular mix of players. So follow Shreyas's work at the KC Star on X, all the places. Shreyas, we appreciate it. What a mess. What a mess.
Thanks for having me. I think they'll respond, but it's Oklahoma State, so it doesn't matter. I've said this before. They're going to be a bad team.
Respond, you know? Against Yippee. You know, anybody, Yippee. Anything, any response. I don't care what it is.
I don't buy it. Like, to me, it doesn't matter how they play at home. Like, they're going to win games at home more often than not, just because that's the Fieldhouse Magic.
Yep.
And they're probably going to beat Colorado because Colorado's got awful. But they're going to lose to Texas Tech, probably. They're going to definitely lose on the road to Houston. And their senior year streak of, 20-plus years of winning on senior day is probably in jeopardy.
They'll get it. They'll get it.